yahoo.com. Did you copy?
No problem. Mike, Italy Tango, Zulu, Kilo, Alpha, November, Oscar, Victor at yahoo.com.
Correct, correct. Oh, you can email me there.
It's on the way.
Hey, Gordon, do you get QEX?
Not currently, but I'm thinking about it. Yes, why?
Oh, I subscribed just a little while ago, and the latest issue, I think it's May, June, had another one of those articles by Rudy Stavins, who's been making all those experiments on verticals and radials. So he had part two of the series he was doing. You know, given our talk about antennas beforehand, I thought, you know, might find that interesting, but you know, one has to have time to read all this stuff and think about it.
Yeah, actually, I have something for you. Okay, let me make a pit stop. I just sent something to you guys by email, but let me run downstairs real quick. I want to grab something and I want to talk to you about it, which I think will be interesting. It has to do with an end-fed wire.
Okay, I'll let you go, and I'm going to be walking around the apartment with the handy talkie, but I can't stay too much longer. I'm up at 5:30, and I don't have an opportunity tomorrow to go back to sleep. I have to run a lot of errands, and I don't want to be falling asleep at the wheel when I do the afternoon trips. I have a couple of them, including a big run in the Bronx, and I hate to have to do driving down there. Anything in the city, any part of the city. Although it's getting bad up here too, and I'll carry on with the story for a little bit. So go take care of whatever, and KD2BVW from K2EIR. How am I pronouncing your name correctly? Maybe you want to spell Stoyim, S-T-O-R-I-M. That's what I'm approximating.
Okay. Okay, and okay, K2EIR, Howard, and KD2BVW. Yeah, my name is Stoyan, S-T-O-Y-A-N, Stoyan. Okay, I think it's good enough. I mean, your pronunciation is very, very good. You know, English is, you know, my English is second language, yet.
But I think, all right. It's good enough. All right.
So you will email me and we'll see.
As I told you, you know, I'm thinking, you know, for the future for satellite communication, and I found that there is a, you know, little bit problem to find a good rotator. You know, I'm looking for the GC.
This transceiver has all
that. So I have to interrupt for a while. I'm looking for
ESO rotator, GC 5500,
but you know, in the future to see what I can do. But it's the next project, you know, as I said, step by step. So I don't want to talk too long.
Yes, because it's too late and we have to
go to sleep.
Go.
Tomorrow is Friday, but
not good Friday.
All right.
Okay, Howard. Mike, back to you. And KD2EIR and group, I'm KD2BVW.
Okay, Stoyan. Yeah, I just put on headphones. Is the rotator you're looking for an antenna rotator? Is that correct?
Yeah. I'm looking for
azimuth and elevation rotator.
It is what I like is ESO GS 5500.
I think it's very good for me. but you know the price is it's pricey, but it's good. But it is the next project what I'm thinking. Is it Roger?
Roger. Yeah, I can't help you very much on that. I'm in an apartment. We've been in this complex, one apartment or the second one. This is the second one for 30 years. Right now my antenna is 6 inches. Ooh, I'm just now, I know why the SWR is a little high. Let me move that. Okay, hopefully my signal did not get worse. But my antenna is 6 inches off the floor, and this is a ground floor apartment that is maybe we're 5 feet above the ground over here, but everything is hills here in Westchester. I'm in Tarrytown, so it's an indoor antenna. I don't want to say I don't have outdoor antennas. I have a stealth antenna that's a wire antenna, and I do have a little front porch, and I can set up things there temporarily. You know, I set it up for an hour or two. Usually for HF I go out portable, and I do have a UHF and VHF rig in my car, and I do most of my operating mobile when I'm driving, because I usually don't have time to be have fun like this in the evening. There's always something demanding my time, so I'm not on that much. At any rate, the last time I had a rotator myself was back in the 1960s when I lived in the Bronx, and then I was very fortunate. I was on a six-story apartment building that was in a fairly high area of the Bronx, and I had a beam on the roof for 2 meters, first a 7-element one and then an 11-element one with one of the AR rotators, that was the model AR something or other, Cornelia Duplia or something like that, I think, made it. I'm trying to remember. one form or another, those rotators are still around, except the price, which about that time was somewhere between $35 and $50, and the rotator I had was considered a TV rotator, or one-up, and I think they're now like $355 for the same model. So I'm not the guy to ask about rotators. Obviously, my experience has been extremely limited when we have to go back to the 1960s. I'm not going to ask directly over the air, but I'll just say that at least tomorrow sundown is late. In fact, in the next few weeks, the sundown is later than any other time. So if I'm correct, that will give you a little bit of time tomorrow, to get things done. So turn it back to you, and I think I'll sign it.
Repeater.
Let's see if I'm back.
Timeout clear.
Okay, I don't know how long the timeout is on the repeater, but I know I timed out my rig just as I was turning it over to you. KD2BBW from K2EIR.
Oh, I'm back. Group KD2BBW. Yeah.
Sure.
I see the timeout from the repeater, and, maybe we're talking too much. Thank you very much for your information. I will find a way. I will buy. Maybe to the end of the year, because I have a lot of projects to do at home, and the ham radio is only one partial of what I have to do. First I'm thinking maybe the next week. I will put outside this Dayton antenna, for better results. At the moment, from this place, I can reach around 6 repeaters, it's really very 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 good place. I would say without antenna, because it's very very short one antenna on the radio itself. I'm looking. I check already the net, and I will find a lot of companies you know, probably we'll offer it, but, you know, we'll find which one is good. I use it's called camera U4, a rotator. Rotator number 4 is a very good one. But it was a long time ago. More
than,
for example, 30, 40 years, something like that. I bought one very small rotator. It is TV rotator, but you know, it's not for. I bought it only because I saw it and say, oh, okay, let's see what it is. I think it is it's European company, but this is for TV content. It's not very serious rotator. But in the future we will talk. So I don't want the other people to stay and to listen to us, and you know, and let's see if Gordon is still on the line. Gordon, I'm back to you. W2TTT and group MKD2 BBW.
Yeah, I'm here. So I just did something really, really simple here. I Googled Dayton 2012 Hamvention, and there's all sorts of good stuff there. So, in fact, if you want to know something about a particular company, just add the company name. Like, if you want to, you know, find out what ICOM is doing or one of the other vendors, just add that to your search. Be amazed what you'll find real quick.
Okay, Gordon, thank you very much. I just got your email. Oh, it's very, very kind of you. Really, very, very nice. Thank you very much for your help. I saw all people here, and I'll read your. I see also there's some pictures. You know. All right. Thank you very much. Right back to you.
I don't always do this, but there are times when I do, and it's a good idea. Anyway. I'm still trying to figure out what the ideal balance should be for an NFED Yagi. I think it's 6-1, isn't it? And not NFED Yagi, an NFED wire. These HF antennas. I have an antenna here that I wasn't overly thrilled with. It's an Ultimax 100. I'm sure it's fine on the upper bands, but I don't usually operate on the upper bands. In order to keep you from being interested in opening the thing, they use a lot of epoxy on the screws and other such things, which is a little annoying, but I can understand why they don't want to have their design undermined. But I was looking at other NFED wire antennas, noting that there were magical lengths that were used. Maybe if I had a longer wire for this particular NFED, it might work better on 40. And we'll have to see.
E2EIR.
Ah, yes. Hello, Mr. Howie.
Okay, well, the important thing, of course, is how long is the antenna in terms of wavelengths. Typically, when we're talking about an NFED antenna, we're often talking about a half wavelength or a multiple, in which case the impedance is actually something like close to 6,000 ohms. All right, it can go from 1,200 to 6,000. Those are typical figures. Figure 4,000 to 4,700 or something like that. So that might give you an idea of what you want in impedance transformation. In general, something like 9-1 might be a lot better, and that would bring it into the range of your antenna tuner. And there's stuff up there, especially on the QRP sites, about this, so I don't know if that helps, but that's my recollection.
That's right, I Googled Ultimax 100, proceeded to find a really nice light machine gun. Unfortunately, that's not what I was looking for. I wanted the antenna.
Okay. The other thing is there's, I think, a lot of myths about what you need in terms of counterpoise, etc. Many of these, many people practically find that they need several feet of counterpoise and can get away with only a few feet. And they like to say that a half-wave end-fed antenna does not need any counterpoise or whatever. But really, it's sort of like an off-center-fed antenna, but it's extreme. You need something, and probably the more you have, the better it is.
Yeah, so if I took the ground lug of the shield of the coax that feeds this thing and ran a radial system off of it or a counterpoise of some sort, that would be a good thing.
Yes, indeed. Whatever it's worth, when I went out mobile, and I hope the storm doesn't mind me carrying on because I especially wanted to get off the air and go to sleep. But when I've been out mobile, I had made myself a homebrew vertical for the coil, about 28 feet for 75 meters. So I decided to compare it to my ham stick. All right. Now what I did with the homebrew vertical is I took this rig, the 857D, and as you know, it has two coax connectors on the back, if you will, two ports, one for VHF and UHF, and the other for HF. So I took a 50-foot piece of RG8 that I had, and I connected it to the VHF-UHF port to use as a radio. And then I switched antennas, and I found that my vertical had about a 6 dB impedance both on transmit, you know, from reports and receive. And then I realized, well, gee whiz, they both have the radio on. Let me take off the radio because I want to see how I've been doing with the ham stick. And that caused a 20 dB decrease when I removed the radio, just one, okay? And of course, that may be frequency dependent. But out back, I have a stealth wire in a tree that's about 50 feet. Fed with buried coax, not meant to be buried, it's RG58, and I had some very, very fine wire, you know, number 38 or something, and I had one radial on that, and somewhere along the line, let me let this reset, somewhere along the line, deer or children came walking by and broke this very thin wire, and while the SWR is still matchable with the antenna tuner, my signal reports are not as good. These are just anecdotal things you might keep in mind when you're doing your end-fed antenna. W2TTT with KD2BVW from K2EIR.
Okay, here's something that's like rocket science here, right? It's rather amusing. One guy ran it up, didn't like the way it was working, had some restrictions, so he changed the length of the wire from the 24 feet that's provided to 67 feet, please note that, and then he ran 100 feet of RG8X and put a 6-inch choke loop before it went into the shack. I have noted with this antenna, you must have a choke loop, or some other form of assistance to keep the RF out of your shack. And anyway, he tried extending the wire with 67 feet more, so he's up a full wave, you know, essentially, at 80 meters, and didn't notice any major difference. So he simply moved the extra 67 feet of wire to the coaxial connector, like I just was saying, and magically he had a 67-foot counterpoise, and magic 80 meters came alive. Duh.
Yeah, well, you know, again, people often don't know really what they have. We all use random length antennas, and you know, anything that works and gives you fun is okay. I mean, if you can apply a little theory to it, you might be able to save yourself some time and do better, but my antenna out back and others that I've tried out there. So again, I use a lot of number 38 wire. I could buy 1,000 feet of that for, you know, like $6. So if someone tears down my antenna, believe me, I've had to tear torn down time and time and time again within days of each other. You know, I've invested $1 or $2 of wire maybe. And the other thing I do is I suspend it with fishing line, my monofilament, you know, 4-pound, 8-pound test. Anyway, I gotta get, I'll stick around for one more transmission with Stroyum and you, and then I'm gonna pull the plug here and pack up and go to sleep. Let me turn it to Stroyum and so that he's still there and rotate it, and once again I'll listen. If I have any questions, I'll answer them, but otherwise, this is it. KD2BVW, and nice making your acquaintance, and W2TTT. Here is K2EIR.
Okay, guys. K2EIR, Crowley, and W2TTT.
Alright. Okay, thank you very much for listening to me. And,
W2BOV, at this time we're starting the CBS Retirees Net, which meets Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And with that, W2BOV will be standing by for check-ins. Come now.
W2BOV, this is N1XUG, and how long can we talk before we time out?
Good morning, Ted. N1XUG, W2BOV. Usually with repeaters, it's 3 minutes. So that is, you know, that's a good reason just to take your finger off the push-to-talk button if you think you're going to be running over 3 minutes.
Thank you, and good morning.
Okay, well, thank you for asking it. Good morning. Any other check-ins for the net?
And to NBR.
Good morning, Bob, and good morning, Chad.
Hey, good morning, John, and to NBR. We missed you, and good morning, Joe, and welcome back, WA2ZNT. Any other check-ins for the day? Nothing heard, but we'll leave a nice pause in between transmissions, and that'll permit any latecomers to join us. So, we've got 64 degrees. It's a bit cool out there this morning. 65% humidity. Our barometer here is 29.51 and rising, and we have bright sunshine and blue skies and a couple of clouds here and there. So I was up early this morning and got back a little while ago from taking my automobile in for its annual state inspection and for servicing. So if we have to go anywhere today, we'll have to use some sort of public transportation until it's full of cars ready. But it worked out good, and it was, I guess, not quite a mile between the auto repair place and our home. So it wasn't too bad, and it was a good walk back. So, and in a nice sunny morning, it was very pleasant. And on the way back home, I met my next-door neighbor who was out walking their new dog. And I said, what's the dog's name? And Dina says, Yapper. I said, Yapper, yeah. And then the dog barked, and I understood why. So, anyway, that's what's going on here. So let's we have Tad, then we have John, and then we have Josephine. So N1XUG to get it. W2BOV with the CBS Retirees
Net. W2BOV, N1XUG. Yes, good morning, John. Still miss you. And good morning, Joe. I have a little discourse this morning because I just finished reading an article in American Heritage magazine, which usually deals with the Civil War stuff, but this time they did an article on Walter Cronkite. Very, very interesting, and what happened during the Vietnam War. So I will talk about that a little later on. So I will turn it over to you, John. N2NBR, this is N1NBR.
Okay, good morning, Bob, Dan, and Josephine. Temperature here is 58 degrees. A little nippy for around here. And barometric pressure is 30.21, and I think it's rising. And it's a beautiful day, not a cloud in the sky that I can see. Of course, we're now somewhat obstructed by the output of leaves from my big tree in the front yard, but it also has a few bare spots on it yet, but mostly it's pretty well grown as far as leaf production is concerned. There's some interesting articles in this month's QST, which are which I've been sort of gazing at. And what else? My HT220 for 450 is on the blink again, so that's on the way to the guy in Florida that does that sort of thing. And other than that, back to you, Bob, W2BOB. Oh, I'm sorry, Josephine, over to you. WA2ZNT, this is N2NBR.
N2NBR, WA2ZNT, very good. Good morning, John. And so that's Bob, Dad, John, and me so far. All right. Yes, it is a beautiful day, and I don't know the exact temperatures here, but just hearing the radio, it said in the upper 50s and going up to 73. But it's comfortable humidity, and I like that. And couldn't ask for anything better. Very good. I'll be interested to hear what you have to say, Tad, when you get to it, about what you've been reading. So I don't have much to start with, so we'll just pass it around. And I just wonder how Alan is doing and all the others, but I guess we'll hear in time. And I hope RII might find time to check in. We'll see. Over to you, Bob, W2BOB, WA2ZNT.
Okay, very good, Josephine, at WA2ZNT from W2BOB, and, yeah, well, you know, people have different schedules, and, I know Harold, used to join us many years ago, and then, he had some health problems, and he still has health problems, so I think that's, that really governs this morning schedule. So, alrighty, yeah, the yesterday the 20-meter band was in pretty good shape. There was a lot of DX coming in, but we still had trouble communicating in the United States. Although on Wednesday, we had a station in Surprise, Arizona, to check in. So, and he had a pretty good signal coming in. So that's quite a path from New York all the way down to Phoenix. And those fires they're having out there, my goodness. My wife and I have been visiting Arizona since 1977. And in 1987, I had my sabbatical. That was one great thing about CBS. It was like being hired by a university, because after you were there for 20 years, they gave you a 10-week sabbatical every 5 years. So I was lucky I got two of them, one at 20 and another at 25, so that worked out good. But, in 1987, we traveled to Arizona just to drive, but then, boy, what a heck of a drive that is, I'll tell you. Had stop along the way to visit friends and relatives, but eventually we wound up flying and renting a vehicle and then traversing the Four Corners area. but we signed up for a group called Earthwatch, which basically allows you to participate in various types of scientific expeditions and actually work. I mean, it was physical labor. We were hooked up with the University of Arizona Anthropology Department. The archaeologists involved were excavating a site in northern Arizona, which the last occupation of which had been around the year 1200, and it was termed Homolivi and the number 4, because that's where the site was, and it was just outside the city limits of Winslow, Arizona, which is about 80 miles east of Flagstaff. It's pretty far north. I mean, it's not that far from the Grand Canyon. And the Anasazi, who were the ancient, that means ancient ones, didn't have any recorded history, so it was all passed down through the years. The Hopi tribe, which credits the Anasazi with being their ancestors. So, anyway, it's very interesting, and we learned a lot about Arizona. We learned what you have to do when you're working out outside in the hot sun. This was in the fall. It was in September, I do believe, or the spring, I forget which. But you have to be really covered up. You have to wear a wide-brimmed hat, and you have to drink plenty of water, because if you become emaciated out in that sun, it can have very bad physical effects. So, basically, that's what really kept us going to Arizona. My wife became a volunteer every year. I couldn't go every year because of my vacation ticket, CVS, but she went out every year for, well, up until they ran out of funds and they had to stop the project. But she always loved archaeology, even though she was never schooled in it. But she learned a lot because it's like going to college. So anyway, there's a little background. But what brought up that story was the fact one year we were out there and they had what they call the Cheddar Sky Rodeo Forest Fire. And that was one heck of a big forest fire. That was 10 years ago. And I still have a T-shirt that says, I survived the fire. So we were there when it started, but not near it. And we had traveled up to Albuquerque, New Mexico, which is several hundred miles away. And when we got to Albuquerque, the smoke from that fire was right at ground level. Because Albuquerque's up pretty hot. So. Well, that's the scoop on that. But these two three fires now that were raging in Arizona, destroying a lot of national forests. So, with that, over to you, Chad. Sorry to be so long-winded, but I just thought of it. I should mention it. So, N1XUG W2BOB. Let it drop, so we reset the receiver.
W2BOB N1XUG. Not long-winded at all. Always very interesting, Bob. Incredible, incredible. And I know you've spoken before about your wife's excavations and all the things they found. Very interesting. My gist of the story is, I've read in American Heritage magazine, is how Walter Cronkite was able to change the television news broadcast in the evening from what it used to be before he got on. And I will give you a quick background of what happened in Vietnam. Vietnam was controlled by the French, the French possession, and then when they abdicated, the South Vietnamese government, and I say South Vietnamese because there was also a North Vietnamese, which had been arrived by treaty, and just like North and South Korea, North and South Vietnam also started to exist, and the capital in South Vietnam was Saigon, and they were trying to form a free and democratic country, But Russia, Red China, which is a neighbor of Vietnam, had other ideas, and they wanted it to be a communist country. So that's the background of what we encountered when we got involved. And I will pursue that further on. Over to you, N2NBR, N1XUG.
Okay. Excuse me, I had to clear my throat there. Yes, I remember the many details about the Vietnam War, the Ho Chi Minh Trail. A friend or two of mine got to a Purple Heart recipient from that war.